أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite a salawat. We were talking about the inner self and how it is important to understand in our progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our move towards the divine, in our taqarrub ila Allah, that should be the goal of each and every one of our lives. Something which is worth more than everything else that we know of, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we want to do so, on top of attending to the outward expression of ours, what we say, what we do, our prayer, our fast, our hajj, and so on and so forth, it is important for us to attend to the inner part of us and try to understand what it is that is going to be something that the soul does, what the nafs, what that inner self has got to do as well. And that's actually more important. Yesterday we started to discuss what we find in our ahadith, in the verses of the Holy Quran, as the most important thing which that nafs, that soul, that inner self has got to do. The most important thing. And I hope we are attending to this, as this is very important for us to note. We read the ahadith yesterday about how important the concept of aql, which is usually translated to as intellect, the faculty of reason, understanding. Sometimes it is referred to in the verses of the Holy Quran and in the ahadith as qalb, the heart. These are words that refer to the same reality in different terms for different reasons. We read the ahadith that explained how a person who has an aql, a heart, an intellect, compared to someone that doesn't have that, and they both worship, or one has a stronger one and one has a weaker one, the worship of the two is not going to be the same. In fact, if a person decides that they are going to sleep that night, and they're not even going to wake up for Salatul Layl, for extra worship, if an aql person does that, someone with that aql, with that intellect, with that heart, decides not even to get up and do worship, or not even fast, that itself, that not fasting, that not getting up for the prayer, is more valuable than someone without that aql, or to a lesser extent having that aql, them getting up and performing that prayer. This shows the importance of this. And in the end of this, if I get the time, inshallah, I want to highlight something which we all know, but based on this explanation that we are giving, to have a better understanding of it. Recite a salawat, please. We talked about what this aql means, or we started to talk about it. We said the first step, which we are all aware of, and hopefully we've at least taken that step in the right direction, is when we hear words of wisdom, you read books, hear your parents, for example. All of us have learned Islam in this way. We've all heard about the realities of Islam. We've all heard about God, belief in God, the oneness of God, the adl and the justice of God. In this way, initially we were told. Okay, we're not like some of the prophets, which I'm about to read. There's one of their stories, the best of all's story. But we're not like that. We usually are told. When we are children, when we are youth, our parents, our relatives, somebody tells us about this. Okay, we hear it and we understand it, we comprehend it to a certain extent, and we accept it. That acceptance is the heart, the aql, the intellect, seeing that reality and acknowledging that reality. All right, so this is one which we need to do. We read the verses of the Holy Quran, we ponder upon them, we reflect upon them, we listen to talks, we listen to each other speak about these topics, which is very good for us to have conversations, discussions on these topics to try to have a better understanding. We listen to that and we think about it, we acknowledge it. This is one step. Another thing that we found was something that the verses described as contemplating and reflecting not upon verses of the Quran, not upon words, all right, but on actual realities that exist. Okay. Inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar la ayatin لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Looking at the real world, looking at the heavens and the earth, and seeing that as the signs of the divine, reading the works of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeing that as the signs of God, and our hearts acknowledging that, acknowledging this sign as the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, to an extent, we get the idea behind that, but with a hadith that we have in regards to the Holy Prophet, I'd like to have a better understanding of this concept, reading the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, without the means or without the without going through words to get it, seeing the sign itself and understanding what that actually is. We have a beautiful hadith about the Holy Prophet, which is narrated in, the original source of it is a tafsir. We have a book that is called the tafsir of Imam al-Askari, salamullah alayhi. Now obviously it is called tafsir, and therefore it is the tafsir of the verses of the Holy Quran. However, it contains a lot more than just tafsir. But I have found this in Biharul Anwar, volume 17, page 309. It is apparently Imam Al-Hadi, Imam Ali ibn Muhammad Al-Hadi, the grandson of Imam Al-Ridha, salamullah alayhi, that is narrating this hadith and telling us about this reality. He says, وَأَمَّا تَسْلِيمُ الْجِبَالِ وَالصُّخُورِ وَالْأَحْجَارِ عَلَيْهِ. We've all heard that the stones, during the time of the Holy Prophet, the stones used to testify to the prophethood of our beloved Prophet. Okay, you've heard of that. The Imam wants to explain when this happened and why it happened. Okay, now unfortunately I don't think the time is going to allow me to actually get to the part where he talks about why that happened, but the intro of it is a bit of history that's very important. He says, فَإِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ لَمَّا تَرَكَ التِّجَارَةَ إِلَى الشَّامِ وَتَصَدَّقَ بِكُلِّ مَا رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنْ تِلْكَ التِّجَارَاتِ كَانَ يَغْدُو كُلَّ يَوْمٍ إِلَى حِرَاءٍ. We all know that the Holy Prophet, while he was young, before he was 25, before he married Khadija at age 25, he went on a few trips, apparently, to Sham to do business. He was a good businessman. He went with his uncle. The money that was provided for it, what he did business with, was what was provided to him by his future wife, Khadija salamullah alayha. Apparently he made a lot of money with that. Okay, and I've heard many times people making use of the story of the Holy Prophet and business and saying, okay, the Holy Prophet was a good businessman. And it's true. The Holy Prophet was pretty good at that. He made good profit in that trip, and he came back. Everybody was pleased. They wanted to give him more. He went back, apparently, maybe a couple of trips. But according to this hadith, something that the business people don't like to talk about as much. Okay, it's not as favoring to them. And that is, the Imam says, لَمَّا تَرَكَ التِّجَارَةَ. The Holy Prophet didn't just continue with that business. Okay, he stopped. All right, why, the Imam doesn't explain here. But he stopped. We'll leave that. What happened? What's the unpleasant part? He says, وَتَصَدَّقَ بِكُلِّ مَا رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ. This is difficult. The Holy Prophet gave all of what he had gained as charity. All of it. Okay. Just imagine, you make some big bucks in a really good business. Okay, I remember that when the stock market was just starting to go up and it turned into, well, what you all know, in the 90s, I think this was around 96, 97. Somebody was talking to me, and over the course of one month, he would easily make like 18 grand, easily. Okay, just playing around with those stocks. Now just imagine, you make all that money. Okay. And you're thinking and wondering how you're going to be spending it. This is how we are. The Holy Prophet made all that money easily. He distributed all of it amongst the poor. Okay, he didn't keep any of it. All right. Now this is not suggesting to anyone to give all your wealth up. All right. But we can learn a little bit from it. Some of the ulama have taken a lot of good lessons from this. Don't think that the Holy Prophet, I think we began to mention this last night, and we didn't get to finish it. Our understanding of the Ahlul Bayt and the Holy Prophet and prophets in general is not a very correct understanding. Or it's partial understanding. It's not a complete understanding. I don't claim to have a complete understanding. I'm including myself. Part of the reason why it's a partial understanding and not a complete understanding, not a fully accurate understanding, is because really understanding them is difficult. Okay, for someone like myself, trying to understand someone like the Holy Prophet, that he has said no one except for Allah and Amirul Mu'mineen knows, it's difficult, it's not an easy task. But one of the areas that we kind of maybe misunderstand or have not a complete understanding of is that the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt go through a process of progress. They do move closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us have this impression that the Holy Prophet is just stable. Okay, he's perfect and he's where he is. There's no change. Okay. This apparently is not a correct understanding. Why? Well, one of them is this hadith that we have from Imam al-Hadi that I'm reading to you. And we have other ahadith, including a hadith in al-Kafi that suggest all of the Ahlul Bayt, the Holy Prophet and the Imams, weekly, apparently, one of them says on Thursday nights, every week, there is a sort of worship, some form of it, which through this hadith we may be able to understand further what that is, that it allows the Ahlul Bayt to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understanding that, just for those who have a question in their mind, does this work right? Are we serious about this or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite. All other beings, all creations are finite, regardless of who they are. The Holy Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, all include. Everyone is finite. So the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt being finite, all of us being finite, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being infinite, this process of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never going to come to an end for people like that, for people who have embarked on that path in the way that the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt have. They're constantly getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the reason why I mention that is to understand this, that this the way the Holy Prophet gives charity, don't think that this is irrelevant to his status as a prophet and him developing into a prophet. There's a reason why the Holy Prophet became a Rasul at age 40. Okay, this doesn't just happen haphazardly without reason. There's a reason. There's development. This has to do with that development. And what we're trying to extract for ourselves from this is giving, especially if we've made a lot of money, giving that, not waiting for khums or zakat or things like that. No, giving generously to the poor, helping them out, is very, very beneficial in that self-development, okay, in that self-building. It's very, very beneficial. So the Imam says, after he did that and he gave all of it away as charity, كان يغدو كل يوم إلى حراء. This is where we want to use it for. This is the passage of the riwayah of the hadith that we want to use for our discussion. Every day, and you've heard this, he used to go to Hira, the cave. Those who've been to Mecca for Hajj or Umrah, inshallah we all have the tawfiq. And this year, this is the month to ask for it. This is the month of Ramadan. Allahumma rizukna hajj baytikal haram. And let's please, let's all of us. I personally, my plans are in a way where it doesn't seem like I would be able to. I've even been offered to go. Doesn't seem like I will be able to, but I pray, inshallah, maybe God will work it out in a way that we can, inshallah, go. Anyway, those who've gone have visited, or they've tried to maybe visit the cave. When you go up there, you'll see that there is kind of like a hole in that cave where you can see Kaaba, you can see Masjid al-Haram, you can see a lot. It says the Prophet used to go there. What we have usually heard about the activities of the Holy Prophet is worship, prayer, maybe fasting, and so on and so forth. But the type of worship that is talked about here, the Imam talks about and mentions, is very different. It's not that outward, the prayer that you stand and, no, it's something else. What is it? He says, يَصْعَدُ وَيَنْظُرْ مِنْ قُلَلِهِ إِلَىٰ آثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. He used to go to the cave, he used to go to that mountain, and from above observe what? إِلَىٰ آثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, the signs of God's mercy. He used to observe what he saw, the deserts, the birds, whatever he saw. He's watching this and seeing, he's allowing that heart to observe this as the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Athar rahmatillah wa anwa'i ajaib rahmatih. Looking, now you thinking that this is the desert, there's no trees, right? This is Mecca. We're not even talking about Medina. Medina had a little more, you know, you'd see some palm trees. Mecca is pretty dry. You don't have anything there. So you're thinking this is bare and there's nothing, there's no grass, there's no trees, there's no animals, you can't see animals either. But the Holy Prophet is watching this, عجائب رحمته, is seeing. This is the aql that we were talking about. When you look at something that seems to be very simple, but he's looking at it and seeing the wonders of God's mercy. Okay? When you start to think and ponder something that looks very simple, just you think that, okay, this is God's creation, alhamdulillah, great, I understood that, let's move on. No. You look deeper, you think harder, you ponder upon it, and you realize the complexities of this very, very small element that is before you. Okay. This is what the Holy Prophet is doing there. وَأَنْوَاعِ عَجَائِبِ رَحْمَتِهِ وَبَدَاعِئِ حِكْمَتِهِ. Seeing divine wisdom, seeing it, okay, observing it. وَيَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَكْنَافِ السَّمَاءِ, looking in the sky. وَأَغْطَارِ الْأَرْضِ, and looking from that elevation, looking at the different areas of the earth that he could see. وَالْبِحَارِ, maybe at that point, I'm not sure if he could actually see it with his eyes, or knowing about it, he is pondering upon it. So the Imam at this point is talking about this idea of the Holy Prophet spending time to look at this creation and seeing this as athar rahmatillah. Okay. I'll spend a couple of minutes with this and then we'll see what this leads to. Okay. What this very act itself leads to. This heart, this aql, this qalb within, opening up, spending time, getting to see these as athar rahmatillah. Okay. The urafa, they say sometimes they would be, I heard the story of one of the urafa, there were a few of them, and they were planning to go in the desert. Some reason, again, the Holy Prophet's in the desert, some reason the urafa prefer deserts over forests. Why exactly, I don't know, that's beyond me, but for some reason that allowed them to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were going out of the city, in the desert, to have their worship or whatever. And they sent one of them to one of the friends to go and pick up some bread. Okay. Picking up bread. The bakery, they're baking bread, and he wants to pick it up and go to them. They want to go, they want to have a little bit of something to eat as well. They're going all the way out there. This person goes and they're waiting on him, and well, usually takes maybe 5 minutes to go and come back. It took 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, wondering what's going on here. It shouldn't take that long. They go, they want to go and check out and see what's going on. They go and see this friend of theirs, and he's just looking at the bakery. All right, just looking, observing. And it hit him. Suddenly, that scene for him became a very clear bayin sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's just glued to it. The way, you know, sometimes we're glued to the TV when some movie's on, and we find that so attractive. This arif is seeing this as a clear sign of Allah, and he's just glued to it. He can't move. Alright. You're thinking a bakery? Baking bread? Really? The Holy Prophet is looking at this, looking at things that may be simple. When you're looking at it, it takes time. You have to get used to this. The teachers say that you have to think of this, that you want to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs and you want to see everything as God's sign. Just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind. And whatever you look at, just bring to your mind, okay, this is the creation of Allah. Not just the creation of Allah. I think we mentioned this last year as well. We have a misunderstanding. We think God created and now this thing is running on its own. This fan is moving on its own. If I really understand this, this fan is being moved right now by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this is not something that this fan can do on its own. God is moving this. Alright? And this is something to observe. This is something to allow it to seep into my heart, not just into my mind. I kind of understand it. No, allowing it to seep into the heart. Okay. This is what the Holy Prophet is doing, seeing all these signs. And look what it leads to. Recite a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. It says, he used to observe this, and وَيَتَذَكَّرْ بِتِلْكَ الْآيَاتِ. Remember the verse of the Holy Quran, or I don't know if I actually recited that verse or not. There's a few verses of the Holy Quran that say, إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Okay. تَذَكُّر, being reminded, the heart observing, that is something that ulul albab, those who have a heart, okay, those who, through applying that intellect, applying that heart and seeing it, seeing things, they become ulul albab, yatadhakkar. So it says, yatadhakkar bitilkal ayat. وَيَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِهِ. Also, he did worship, so he did the combination of these two. Okay, combination of these two. Says, فَلَمَّا اسْتَكْمَلَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. When he finished and completed the 40th year of his life. This is the year he becomes a prophet, right? Him becoming a prophet is explained in this way. Him being elevated to the status of a Rasul is explained in this way, in the words of Imam al-Hadi, salamullah alayhi. He says, when he completed 40 years, نَظَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ. Okay. When he completed 40 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at his heart. See that inner self. Looked at the heart of the Holy Prophet. فَوَجَدَهُ أَفْضَلَ الْقُلُوبِ. He saw that this heart was the best of hearts. Best of hearts not at that time. Best of hearts throughout time. فَوَجَدَهُ أَفْضَلَ الْقُلُوبِ وَأَجَلَّهَا. The most valuable of all. وَأَطْوَعَهَا وَأَخْشَعَهَا وَأَخْضَعَهَا. These three words are amazing. If we understand. It's very difficult to explain this. I see some faces are kind of maybe wondering what this is all about. These are some of the deep ma'arif that we have. Okay, I'm trying to explain. I'm trying my best to explain as best as I can. Very, very valuable information. It says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the heart of the Holy Prophet, he saw it that this is the best of the hearts, but in what way? Atwa'aha. Okay. Atwa' and akhsha' and akhda' have similar meanings. Okay. The best word that I can think of right now is receptive. Okay. Receptive to the truth. Alright. But to have a better understanding, khudu', you've heard khudu', right? Khudu' is when, in prayer, when you bow, that's khudu'. When you do sajda, that's khudu'. Okay? Physically, usually they say, when you bow to something, when the heart bows to the truth, okay, it accepts it, it acknowledges it as truth. Akhdawaha wa akhshawa. A lot of times, one of the problems we have is this, the kuffar, to the worst extent, but us even, we see truth, this is our problem. We see truth, we're not willing to accept it. we're not willing to agree to it. After seeing it, we observed it, our eyes see it, we're not willing to accept it. That's the problem. That's why we don't deserve all of this. That's why we don't deserve what the Prophet deserved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I saw this heart of the Holy Prophet most receptive, most accepting, most bowing to the truth. Okay. أَذِنَ لِأَبْوَابِ السَّمَاءِ. He saw that the heart is worthy. Allahu Akbar. He says, أَذِنَ لِأَبْوَابِ السَّمَاءِ فَفُتِحَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the gates of the heaven to open, and they opened for the Holy Prophet. Mukashifa, kashf. Now, he was looking at the athar that are physical. He's looking at the mountains. He's looking at the sky. He's looking at the oceans, or thinking about them. He's looking at this. Once he's observed this enough, and all of this has seeped into his heart, now he deserves beyond this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the gates of the heaven, okay, and allowed that to come down upon him. أَذِنَ لِأَبْوَابِ السَّمَاءِ فَفُتِحَتْ وَمُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهَا. The Holy Prophet now begins to look at those signs. He begins to see the signs of Allah. A new opening has opened for him, and now he's able to see signs that are clearer, more clear than what you see around you. وَأَذِنَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ فَنَزَلُوا. The angels, he allowed them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to descend, and they came down, they descended. وَمُحَمَّدْ يَنْظُرْ إِلَيْهِمْ. The Holy Prophet looked at them. وَأَمَرَ بِالرَّحْمَةِ. And he ordered, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded his mercy. فَأُنزِلَتْ عَلَيْهِ. And that mercy was brought down to the heart of the Holy Prophet. مِنْ لَدُنْ سَاقِ الْعَرْشِ. From the throne of the Divine. إِلَى رَأْسِ مُحَمَّدْ. To the head of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And وَنَظَرَ إِلَى جَبْرَئِيلُ رُوحَ الْأَمِينِ حَبَطَ إِلَيْهِ. The Holy Prophet sees at this point Jibra'il, رُوحُ الْأَمِينِ, the best of the angels, coming down, descending upon him. And he takes this, and he tells, at this point Jibra'il comes down, and this is the point where he tells him, اِقْرَأْ. And the Holy Prophet says, how can I read? And the angel tells him, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Okay. This is something, these are that first category of observation that we talked about. Allowing the aql, allowing the heart for us to read this, to hear this, and to allow it to penetrate our heart. But the Holy Prophet, after observing, now he didn't have those, people weren't talking about Tawheed at that time. They were all talking about Shirk. But he started observing the signs that were available to him in the material world. And after that was possible, and after he did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows him to see beyond the material world. He allows him to see the signs beyond the material world. And I hope we learn from this. Anyone who's looking for spirituality, you've heard those stories of the Urafa, this is it. Okay, this is the best of the examples of what can happen. And a story that is most authentic and has many lessons that I'll leave the rest of it for you to ponder upon. But this idea, this is what the heart does. Okay, this body can do whatever it wants. You can do many things with this, but none of them are comparable to that heart. The heart has got to do this. The aql has got to do this. Okay. Now, the last thing that I want to very briefly mention is, okay, this is something the heart needs to do. Is there anything that's going to help the heart, help the aql? And is there anything that is going to slow it down or prevent it from doing what it needs to do? We have hadith on both. Imam al-Sadiq tells Hisham, salamullah alayhi, He tells Hisham, Ya Hisham, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ دَلِيلًا وَدَلِيلُ الْعَاقْلِ التَّفَكُّرِ. Okay. Everything has a sign. A sign of عَاقْل is تَفَكُّر. Right. You can interpret this two ways. One is the sign that the عَقْل uses is تَفَكُّر. Kind of the way we were presenting it yesterday is that, you know, you're looking at something. In order to use these eyes and for them to see, you need to look. The looking of the heart and the aql is tafakkur. You need to make use of it, right? Tafakkur, thought, thinking, pondering, contemplation. And then he says, وَدَلِيلُ التَّفَكُّرُ الصَّمْتُ. This is very interesting. The sign of tafakkur, what is going to lead you to tafakkur, to thought, what's going to help you in that is silence. Okay, silence. This is what we find in the ulama, the urafa, the prophets, many ahadith on this. They weren't people that talked too much. They were very talkative. Silence itself. Allah, we have ahadith that say, if you practice this, if you try to be silent, think of what you want to say. Is it something which is beneficial or is it not? Do you need to say it? If it's not needed, even if it's not a sin, but there's no need to say it, just hold it in, don't say it. That samt, hadith says, and we understand it based on this explanation, why that is. It says if you practice that, if you try to remain silent as much as you can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to open the gates of hikmah and wisdom to your heart. Alright. So, this is one. If you want the aql to start to engage, you need to move away from all of what occupies it. There's plenty of things that we allow the heart to be occupied with. And I'll read the second part of that hadith, which deals with that. But we need to spend time with tafakkur and samt, silence. Not speaking is a path to it. What prevents it? Again, the Imam tells Hisham, he says, Ya Hisham, من سلط ثلاثا على ثلاث فكأنما أعان على هدم عقله. If you allow three things to overtake three other things, then it's like you are helping destroy your own aql and your intellect and your heart. What are they? It says, من أظلم نور تفكره بطول أمله. If anyone dims the light of their tafakkur, their thinking, pondering, reflecting, okay, it has a certain light. In other words, it's like, you know, you have a flashlight in the dark. When you shed it on something, you're able to see it. Tafakkur is like that, right? When you're in the dark, when dhulumat, we're trying to move towards nur. We're trying to move towards nur. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. The tafakkur is what is going to allow us to see, right? He says, if you dim the light that your tafakkur has with tul amale. Sometimes we're just dreaming about what I'm going to do. I get money, I'm thinking, okay, I'll do this, then I'll do that, then I'll do the other. I start planning and I'm just thinking about what all I'm going to do in the future. Do you even have time for all of that? Are you going to be able to accomplish it? Are you in control of all of that? One of the diseases that we have is this, tulul amal. In the du'as, many times this is addressed. Tulul amal. Too many wishes and desires for the future, thinking and planning, oh, I'll do this, then I'll do that. This is something that keeps your mind occupied. It doesn't allow you. As soon as you want to start thinking, instead of thinking on what you need to think, you start thinking about your wishes. What I'm going to do next, what I'm going to buy next. You see things, you see, for example, even your computer is something, your eye device or your tablet or whatever is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? You can look at it and see Allah in it, or you can look at it and say, oh, this is old. iPhone 6 or 7 or whatever is coming out next, I'm going to buy that. Okay? You can look at it and say, oh, this is damaged to this extent, I need to get the next version, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. As soon as you want to start thinking about the right stuff, the wrong ideas start coming in. You got to control that. Okay. طول الأمل. This is one wrong thing we do. The other one, he says, وَمَحَا طَرَائِفَ حِكْمَتِهِ بِفُضُولِ كَلَامِهِ. See how silence was great for tafakkur? He says, مَحَا طَرَائِفَ حِكْمَتِهِ بِفُضُولِ كَلَامِهِ. There's a lot of new facts and new understandings that your tafakkur, your aql, would be able to come up with, which are called hikmah. And maybe if I get time some other time, I can open up the concept of hikmah to all of us. But he says, you are eliminating and kind of erasing, wiping out what you would be able to take in, the new observations that you would be able to have. What are you omitting them with? فضول كلامه. Extra talk. Okay. Saying things that are not necessary. Right? This is a serious problem. For those who want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who want to go through this process of seeing divine signs, this is what they need to do. Avoiding fudulul kalam. And the next one is shahawat nafsa, which I'll leave as I've gone over my time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this blessed time of the month of Ramadan to bless all of us with seeing Him, seeing His signs, and open the hearts. We ask Him to open the hearts of ours to His signs, to Himself, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Him to help us become His true companions and soldiers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially the Maraja and especially the leader. We ask Him to forgive us of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers of their sins. And we ask Him to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions that they are facing. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلاة